Hey, this is Sean Keeler of the Denver Post. You're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Mike, it's Keeling Me Softly.
I know, I didn't
this
have
This is not
to
Keeling Me Softly. This is the opposite of that. It's the opposite. Wow. Sean Keeler joining us from the Denver Post. I think Michael got scared because he tried to call you, Sean. It didn't go through, and then he panicked, and then we didn't get our song, man. So it's your phone's fault. It's the robot.
No, I think my phone just hates him, and I can't do anything about that. I'll talk to the phone.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on, but thank you for calling us and made this work.
Anytime. Anything for you, brother.
Sean, how important is this all-star break for this Nuggets team right now? It just seems like... I know all the injuries, and Adelman's trying to press all the right buttons, weird rotations. This team just needs a break, a couple of days break, I think.
Yeah, I think they need time away from each other. They need time away from the court. They need time to just flush it and reset. I think the basketball gods need to give them a break, too. I mean,
there's
a certain amount of crazy bad hoops karma that – we want to point fingers, and we can do it at rotations. We can do it at strategy. We can do it certainly in how they've closed. But some of these injuries, like, it's just like comically dark. Like you couldn't make some of this stuff up. So, you know, like Payton Watson, he emerges because Aaron Gordon's not there. Oh, he's hurt now. Now we don't have any fours or stretch fours, stretch threes to play with. I mean, I have some sympathies for David Adelman and for some of the guys there, because this was definitely not how they drew it up, obviously. But you know what? That's why you make the big bucks, because it's about, in the case of management coaching, it's about how you manage and get through a crisis. And they've just been in constant crisis mode, it feels like, since about Christmas, right?
Well, yeah. And I mean, honestly, they did fairly well without Joker. I didn't expect them to be at this point, but obviously we've seen what's happened with this group, and then Watson goes down. We get the bad news about Gordon. Christian Brown still kind of up and down. It's hard for me to like get too high or low on this team, because I just don't. We haven't really seen it hold. All the offseason was, you know, adding depth. Well, that depth has been forced to start and play way more minutes. We just haven't really seen what the plan is going to be.
Yeah, I mean, you guys, is it less than a dozen starts for the ideal core four?
Yeah, it's insane.
If you throw Cam Johnson in there, too, it's a really low number. And so, yeah, to your point, we just have no idea. It's like we haven't seen, what was it, 2021, after they made the Aaron Gordon trade, that we got those whatever 10 games with that core four, and they were just smoking people. And you're like, oh, okay, here we go. And then Maul blows out his knee, and that's the end of that. And then it's kind of year and a half, a year and two-thirds of buying time and Monte Morris and Will Barton trying to carry you from the backcourt a little bit. So, it feels like it's so compacted, and it's been such a flurry of blows that you're just sort of desensitized to the next piece of bad news. It's just like, oh, what else could go wrong? Well, we'll show you. But we don't know. I mean, it's the kind of thing where you hope that they're a top four seed. They certainly on paper have got the talent to be a top four seed. But maybe they're a completely different, you know, if they're healthy by the middle of April and beginning of April when you want to be, and maybe this is a sleeper team that comes out of that 4-5 game or something and can make a push somewhere. But it's been such a weird 6 weeks that you're almost scared what the next six are going to look like. So it goes back to your premise of, good grief, just take a break. like make sure that nobody gets hurt at the All-Star game, because I wouldn't rule that out.
No, especially if they're actually going to play.
Especially with two guys who are actually going. For the first time since 2010, whatever it is, and you got two reps. I look at that as like two more opportunities that somebody's going to have something happen to them, or somebody else will go, you know, fly fishing for a weekend and somewhere, or they'll be in Cabo and they'll get bit by a stingray. Or so, I mean, again, it's crazy now. So I think you're kind of clutching your rosary beads if you're David Adelman.
Sean Keeler joining us from the Denver Post. And like that's the thing. For the first time in a long while since they were really, you know, since they were really becoming a playoff team, this is the most odd, I think, I felt about how my expectations are for this team right now. I just feel like we've barely got a glimpse.
Yeah, I mean, I got here at the turn of the corner at the beginning of Joker and Jamal really taking off, and I've only known the Nuggets here as a playoff team these last 7-8 years. And we're still in that phase. I don't think that changes until the Jokic era is done. But I guess the good, the bad is I don't think we know what we're going to get. I have some worries that maybe Adelman and the staff doesn't know what they're going to get. And it's just kind of been treading water to make sure you don't sink any more than you do, and then see what it looks like when you get everybody back. But then, even if you do, how long is it going to be? And how do you mitigate, you know, load management? How can you have load management when half your payload gets thrown off the train, you know, every other week?
Yeah.
It just puts a lot of stress on everybody else. It kind of reminds me a little bit, and certainly this is in the column, it's at DenverPost.com. They're on a home pace to be like 23-18 or something like that after this 14-11 start. And that's the record they had in 21-22. And that was the Boogie Cousins year for people who want a shorthand of just not much in the backcourt. And then obviously the next year they win the title because they've got the core. It was a weird kind of season of Joker just carrying so much load. And I believe he's the MVP that year too, deservedly, because they didn't have much without him. And now you even haven't had him. So it's even stranger than that. And yeah, I think you're right to just kind of be like, I don't know. I think I just want to see him get healthy and get some rest. And I mean, the irony is, isn't there, if there's a team that you'd want to have an Olympic break right now, I mean, yeah, the Avs
longer,
kind
yeah.
of have it down. But gosh, you almost wish you could give the Nuggets like 10 days like or more. Like, not just the 6 or 8 they're going to get. Like, take 2 weeks. Like, take a fortnight and get your feet up. Because right now you're on fumes and the gods don't like it.
How do you think Adelman has done? Obviously the other night was strange. I mean, I know Joker's kind of on a minute restriction. With Malone, you could set your watch by when Joker was coming out, when most of his guys were coming out, and when they were going in. Adelman is definitely searching, and I don't really blame him. I was still just confused about that last 6 minute stretch where Joker's out for half of it.
Yeah. And it's the old argument of how important is it to win these games at this point in the calendar, right? Like, again, it's the long view versus the moment. When you have a playoff sport and a long playoff sport, and this is true of the Avs too, you're kind of on two tracks, right? It's like, okay, I want to get this tonight, and also I want to make sure that I position myself really well for what everybody's going to remember in April, May, and June. You know, with Malone, the other thing is, I don't think you ever doubted the moment, right? Like, did you ever feel like he, unless they had already clinched something, I think Michael Malone's mode was, I will worry about April and May when I've made the best I can of this team, made the best of this season from you know, October to March. Like, if I'm 50-11, it doesn't, those decisions will take care of themselves. And he's right. That simplifies that. I presume Adelman's cut from the same cloth, but it hasn't always been as apparent, and he's had way more curveballs maybe than Malone ever had to deal with in such a short span that I can think of.
I think you're right.
Malone era.
Yeah.
I mean, to your point about it feeling like the weirdest 7 to 9 weeks, I can't think, certainly since 2017-18, which is where I'm coming into the picture, I can't think of a weirder 7 weeks from an injury and roster perspective, compacted, that short, a crazy stretch that any Nuggets coach has had to deal with before this season. So, but always, yeah, Michael Malone wanted to win the game. And I think David Adelman wants to win the game. I think he also sees, you know, the engine of his entire franchise, you know, on a pitch count, and that's a tricky balance too. But I think that's different, and it certainly, you're right with Malone. I think it would have been, I think they would have beaten the Cavs if Michael Malone coached that team, and that sounds like a slap at David Adelman. Whatever they told him to do with Joker, he probably wouldn't have listened and would have been like, look, that's one of the best teams in the East. I got to win this game.
Well, and that's what's so odd. That was the first time, you know, because there's been a couple of instances this year where I'm like, wow, I don't know if Malone pulls the right strings in that situation. I think Adelman did a great job. That Cleveland game was the first time, I think, where I really walked away from it going, huh, would Malone have won that game? Because he would have been all about the now. But there is a deep part of me that's like, man, maybe this is all part of his evil, David Adelman's evil genius here, is he isn't as solely focused on those regular season games, doing just enough to stay in touch in the top five. Who knows? But that was my first time I kind of second-guessed Adelman at this stage.
Yeah, and he's probably got more wins, David Adelman, on that front than losses. I imagine in my mental checkbook, he's well ahead in the standings too, but that was an L. I mean, let's be clear on that on a couple fronts. I think he admitted it too, of things that he wishes he'd done differently and certainly wishes that they'd executed better. Yeah, I think some of that might be just in the youth and the inexperience as a head coach that is anyone going to tell Michael Malone what to do at that moment when he sets his mind to it? No, one. That's the first thing. And the second thing is, you know, how much of this roster is sort of, you don't want to say self-coached, but it's in such a good place. And when you got, you know, we joke about Coach Jokic, but I think that's a real thing. Like, that he is your point guard on the floor in every sense. I think he dictates so much with his presence and his IQ that when you don't have that, you know, it shows on a couple levels. And I think that's been a little bit of an adjustment, obviously, without him too. And to your point, it's impressive that they were able to, and a tip of the cap to David Adelman, that they had a winning record, 10-6, 10-7, whatever it was, without him. Given his presence is kind of a remarkable thing in hindsight.
Well, they got Memphis tonight, big favorites, so you'd like for them to just take care of that one, grab their 35th win, and get into the All-Star break. Sean, while we have you earlier, you wrote a piece about, you know, the Broncos' Breece Hall. I'm 100% with you on that. I just don't know if... Like, if I'm the Walter Penner group and I'm like, okay, yeah, we'll give you all the money to go get that guy, but you got to give him the ball more than 13 times a game.
Yeah, there are two layers. There's the value for the dollar of the tailback position in the NFL, which there isn't now. I'm sorry, Phil Lindsay, love you. It's just been so, so knocked down. And where people are looking to save their money ball money is platooning on a bunch of seventh round and cheap tailbacks rather than paying for a star, given the mileage. But money, cap is an issue, but they've clearly shown they can navigate one of the worst situations possible. But two, you have the richest owners in pro sports. Like, this is where you need to take advantage of that and get creative and play up all the things you have in your favor to get not just an upgrade in the running back room, but wide receiver, inside linebacker, little better depth at safety, although that was it could have been. I mean, this is where – that's the funny thing this offseason is, not only do you wish you had a better running game because there are going to be more snow games, memo to Sean Payton, it's January in Denver, anything could happen. It was the mildest fall ever, as, you know, and they made up for it with, like, the worst weather winter game that anybody could remember for a long time. You got to be prepared for both. But when you've got this kind of ownership group, this is the 6 months where you start flexing your muscles, right? This is the 6 months where the Walton Panther group gets to show off. And, you know, knock on wood, you hope that they will.
Yeah, certainly some key positions needing to be filled out. Hopefully they get it done this offseason. Keeler, always appreciate the time, my friend. Great stuff this week, available at the Denver Post. And we'll see what happens with the Nuggets tonight. And then... the All-Star game, I'm kind of I'm kind of interested in right now. And I think Jamal Murray for some of that. The ads during the Super Bowl certainly didn't hurt, but I'm the most excited, I think. I'm not really excited, but this is the most I've ever been, you know, in a long time.
Compared to the Pro Bowl, the All-Star game
oh my gosh.
Is like, it's like class. It's like there's something to get excited about relative to how the NFL does it. So I'll enjoy keeping an eye on that and a little bit on the Winter Olympics as well. You have a great weekend, my brother.
All right, man. You too. Always right. appreciate it. Bye-bye. Sean Keeler. That was Keeling Me Softly with Sean Keeler from the Denver Post, but Michael didn't get the song done. I just saw this, Mike. This is a bummer. This is a tough story. James Vanderbeek, who played Dawson in Dawson's Creek and Jonathan Mox in Varsity Blues, the quarterback, the backup quarterback that became a star, has passed away. He was dealing, I know he was dealing with cancer. He had cancer and he just passed away, man. I mean, we jokingly say things about that movie and the accents in the movie. It is an amazing movie. It's one of the great sports movies of all time, in my opinion. Anytime Varsity Blues is on, I'm watching it. And I grew up with three sisters, so Dawson's Creek. Who am I kidding? That was just a great show, man. Dawson, Pacey, the gang, all of them. They were excellent. James Vanderbeek passed away. Did you see Varsity Blues? You didn't watch Varsity Blues?
I did not. I think we've gone over this before.
Well, that will be a part of our Brady and Michael review movies during the summer because there's not as much to talk about, so we have more time on our hands.
I'm trying to look and see if I've seen anything that he's in.
I think it was those two things. Like he did other stuff, but I don't think anything popped like the series he was in the late 90s and Varsity Blues. So if he is, then I just don't know. But James Vanderbeek, man. He was a big-time star because that show was, I mean, love it or hate it, that was a big show. Drove a lot of ratings. So, man, rest in peace to James Vanderbeek. And he was very positive throughout the whole process, doing videos, encouraging other people. I just happened to catch all that. So that's a tough one. 38 minutes after the hour, Michael. Let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.